weather, truth, and fun. We're iHub Radio, homegrown in the Coachella Valley. For a fresh take on the news with Anita Rufus. You won't know if you don't listen.
And hey, thank you so much for listening. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. I'm going to start off the show today with the thing everybody's talking about. And originally I thought, oh, well, you know, I'm tired of talking about the virus. But you know what? You got to talk about the virus because, good God, what is going on is just staggering. In the past, I have mentioned that I tend to keep track of the numbers from one day to the next. Well, I did the numbers from last Friday, and I compared them to the numbers from this morning. And what is absolutely staggering, the international number of people with reported cases went from 10,000,009 to 12,000,003 in a week. And the number in the U.S. went from 2 million, a little over 2 million to 3,000,001 in a week. California alone right now is reporting over 300,000 cases. And we had done pretty well at shutting down very early on. But, you know, if you guys want to run out to the beach without masks on, what can I say? I also have a question that nobody seems able to answer and that the president certainly doesn't address. The president has this ability to tell American companies that they have to produce certain goods based on wartime stuff, and the president can do that. He did it with regard to private-public partnerships run by Jared Kushner, and he did it with regard to what he's always crowing about, which is ventilators. Why hasn't he done that to tell companies in this country that they must produce more protective equipment? You know, right now, in the states that are getting the hardest hit, they're going through exactly what New York went through back in March and April, which seems like a lifetime ago. And the truth is, if we had been in total national lockdown, I get it, there are some areas that had very few cases, that have very few people. Too bad. If we had been in total lockdown for 2 months, they are predicting that we could have saved almost 400,000 lives. Now, as it is, the United States death rate as of today is 300,000 plus. So we could have been down at a level that would have made a lot of sense. Now, of course, the president is very upset. We haven't seen Dr. Fauci. Well, the president hasn't seen Dr. Fauci. And in addition to whatever the conspiracy theorists are brewing up, the president has apparently tuned his radar into the idea that Anthony Fauci, the preeminent infectious disease specialist in this country, who has served the federal government, whether it was under Republican presidents or Democratic presidents, now the rumor is that Dr. Fauci, because he disagrees with the president once in a while, Dr. Fauci is part of the deep state, as is the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, because in spite of the fact that the president said he wanted new guidelines for reopening schools, CDC, when pushed, said, well, we're issuing some advisories, but we're not changing the guidelines. How dare you say something that publicly seems to refute anything that the president said or thinks or wants. Look, we are not in a second wave of this virus. This is the second spike of the first wave of the virus because nobody paid attention to what the hell was going on in New York when everybody thought Governor Cuomo was hysterical. Meanwhile, Florida, this is just in the past week, and these are states that decided to reopen early without going by the federal guidelines. Florida in a week is up almost 1,400%. 100% is doubled. 1,000% is like beyond anything my little brain is going to calculate. Idaho is up over almost 1,500%. Arizona up 850%+. South Carolina is up 1,000% in a week. This is of reported cases. And in South Carolina, in the last 2 weeks, the number of deaths has increased by 30%. President says death rates are down, so we're doing a good job. He said of the 110 million Americans living in rental households, 20% are at risk of, Of the 110 million Americans living in rental households, 20% are at risk of eviction by September 30th. And they're still dickering in Washington about whether they're going to do another stimulus. Obviously, Black and Hispanic renters are going to be the hardest hit. Nobody mentioned single mothers. I was one. I know how paycheck to paycheck my rent was able to get paid. But death rates are down. The percentage of death rates, at least they were several days ago, not so much anymore. So we're doing a good job. I want to say that every time and you listen, even those of you who like Fox News or whatever other sources you go to, I know you're out there. I know there's some of you that think I'm the devil incarnate because you love Trump. But I just want you to listen. The next time he talks about the virus, if at all, and talks about lower death rates, if at all, does he ever say one word about the victims, those who have died, and their families? Almost never. That is unconscionable in the leader of our country. There's a quote I found that came from, I got a late degree from college after my business career was over. I wanted to go back and be able to say I graduated college, and I went to Redlands for a wonderful completion program. And a professor over there, Renee Van Vechten, she said this, and I thought it was worth passing along. She said, a crisis reminds us of the basic function of a government, which is supposed to act for the collective to solve major problems. This is the kind of responsibility that you expect a president to embrace. And this president seems incapable of it. The coronavirus, fifth record in 9 days in a row of new cases, trending up in 36 states. More than 800 people have died in each of the last 3 days from this damn virus. By the way, that's 56% higher than during the same 3 days last week. President doesn't want to hear it, but Anthony Fauci said there are some states that right now ought to be debating whether they need to shut down again. Look at the example of New York City, which I might add, in spite of all those thousands of percent that so many states are up, New York, in the last week, had a 52% decrease in the number of cases. Herd immunity. You've heard this term thrown around. They claimed that this is what Sweden was trying to do. That if you let everybody just kind of get the virus and take reasonable precautions to keep from passing it on, but if enough people get it, then there will be a kind of herd immunity. We will all be walking around with antibodies and nobody will be able to infect anybody else. So, hey, you know, if it means that we get the virus and we pass it around, in the long run, it will benefit us all because God knows when we actually will have any kind of a vaccine. By letting the coronavirus surge through the population with just minimal social distancing and use of masks, trust people to care about other people and to do it right, except obviously not people who live in certain areas of the South or young people who go and hang out in pools and on the beaches and in bars with no masks on. I remember hearing one kid say, "Well, you know, if I get it, okay, I've had the flu, it'll be no big deal. I've heard that young people don't have a problem." Tell that to the 4-year-old that died this past week with the virus. Letting the virus spread is doable with a minimum of human loss. In theory, it's doable. But you have to have very strict protections for people who are vulnerable, almost none of which our government has established. You'd have to separate older, sicker people from younger, healthier ones, and let the virus burn through the young, healthy ones. That would be how we might achieve what is known as herd immunity. We have no plan for that. We have no foresight. We have no controls in place. It's stupid to hold that out as any kind of a solution when you have a federal government that is not acting in the best interest of the American people. Now, it's true, opening up has certainly meant that job numbers have picked up in recent weeks. But most of those are gains because people who had been temporarily laid off were being rehired. The pool of workers whose jobs have completely disappeared and who have to search for new ones, that number has gone up, not down. And there are still some states that are so poorly organized that people have not yet gotten their first unemployment check. There are still some people who haven't gotten the $1,200 they were supposed to get. Now, this is interesting. There was a British study done about who might be most likely to die if they got the virus. They did an analysis of about 17 million people in England. This is the largest study like this that has been done so far. And they did find some factors that can raise a person's chances of dying from the virus. Older people, men, women are just stronger, what can I say? Racial and ethnic minorities are more at risk. Those with underlying health conditions are more at risk. Men who have been stricken with this virus have a higher likelihood of dying than women, even of the same age. And things like obesity or diabetes or severe asthma, any kind of compromised immunity system, increases the possibility of death. And some of these states, particularly in the big cities of those states, where they have had these enormous increases, they're reaching the point where they're going to run out of ICU beds and even, horrors, don't tell the president, ventilators. Meanwhile, the president has pulled out of the World Health Organization, although that won't be official for a year, which means that hopefully we'll have a new president who might decide to change that, try to influence positive changes at the World Health Organization, but not all the way pull out. By the way, Sweden's great experiment, to keep their society mostly open and just let the virus run its course. For what it's worth, the death rate in Sweden is very high, and their economy is no better off than the economies of some of their neighbors in Scandinavia who did shut down. So much for that idea. Where might we find that there is a real advantage to the European way of having dealt with this than the way we're dealing with it. The countries that were hit first and hardest and fastest did totally shut down. And how they are preserving their possible economic comeback is that their workers have been drawing paychecks the whole time, where workers in America are literally scrounging for food. The United States relied on these expanded unemployment benefits. European governments subsidized wages, which meant that they did not suffer a huge loss of jobs. Now, the president wants us to get all our kids back into school, but no particular specific protections. And he's saying we got to have schools open the whole time, classrooms full of kids. But there are a lot of school districts that do not have the money, and the local governments have lost so much tax money that they don't have the money to be able to put in place the kinds of things that would keep both the kids and their families and the teachers safe. In some countries that have reopened schools and are doing well, they've brought in babysitters, they've brought in childcare workers, they've brought in some parents who have been willing to volunteer in the classroom because they're keeping very small pods of kids together at the same time, sitting spaced apart, wearing masks. There are ways to do this, and you need different procedures, different safeguards for very young kids, kindergarten and daycare, first grade. When you get up to about fourth, fifth, sixth grade, there are different ways that you can keep those kids involved. Some countries that have reopened schools have done something that I think is really smart. In France, they did this. They decided, when they were ready to reopen, they decided which students they would invite back first. Kids with no internet access at home, so they couldn't do online learning. Kids who had parents who were considered essential workers, so that they needed to have their kids in school so that they could work. France did it in a very intelligent way, and that's terrific. But nobody is thinking in those terms here, and the president thinks that what the Center for Disease Control came up with as guidelines, too tough. States aren't going to be able to do that. That's too hard. Well, why aren't we giving them the help they need to be able to do that? And isn't that a function of good leadership at the federal level? Look, when we were heading into Memorial Day, California was in a great mood. The state had avoided the worst predictions of the virus surge. Hospitalizations were starting to decline. Restaurants and other businesses were beginning to reopen. And yet, as we approached July 4th, all of a sudden, infection rates and hospitalizations were rising fast. Now, bars have been ordered closed. People aren't supposed to eat inside at restaurants. Many beaches are closed down or have restrictions to limit the number of people. No single thing went wrong in California. The governor had done a good job of keeping things tamped down so that our numbers were at least relatively heading in the right direction. But contributing factors to what happened in California, our people were made complacent by a long stretch of good news. The rapid reopening of businesses, a confusing patchwork of local rules and enforcement. Newsom did not adopt a statewide mandatory mask rule until June 18th. We need to get this under control. We have become the laughingstock and the scourge of the international reality of this virus. There are economies that tamped everything down, but they had leadership and they had trust in their public health officials, and they weren't just looking for the fastest, easiest way to get out of the whole mess. I want to leave you with this. Remember that masks are like pants. If you're not wearing one, then you're exposing other people to something they would really rather not have to deal with. Remember that podcasts are available at ihubradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Go to your favorite site, search iHubRadio, and then look for the Anita Rufus Show, and you'll find my podcast, or go to iHubRadio.com. I'm getting a little nervous about the virus. I really don't want to come into the studio every week for a while, so I'm going to take a bit of a hiatus, but I will be in touch, and you can be in touch as well. You can send me an email to anita@lovableliberal.com. Take care and be safe.